Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you on a final legislative week, or at least we hope so, huh? Here at Political Coffee, we focus on, well, the stuff that matters in your life and your world when it comes to politics, because... well, it just absolutely affects every area of your life, whether you want to admit it to yourself or you're not, okay? It does, and that's why you need to be aware of it. You need to be educated, because you can use these issues of the day to absolutely be not only informed, but change your world. That's what needs to happen. Changing your world, folks. So, is it possible that a legislative bill could come out of the legislature that could actually be a death warrant for the Oregon Republicans, not just the party? House Bill 4024 is going to be heard today at 8 o'clock in the morning in the House Committee on Rules. Folks, what we're hearing is this is the last week they're going to try to be done with the legislative session by, oh, say about Thursday or Friday. Now, of course, we have our special broadcast. Josh Michael and I, Noncompliant America and Political Coffee, joining forces this Saturday. From 4 to 6, a special live broadcast for 2 hours at Miller's Barbecue, Miller's Cafe. Now, this is a live audience. We want you to come and attend. Bring your appetite. It's a great time of day. And eat. Support a great local business, one of our advertisers. We're going to be having legislators show up, and we're going to review what the legislature did. So are they going to try to kneecap Oregon Republicans? And that's what's being basically brought forward here. So is this bill that limits free speech by donations? It limits contributions by you and I, but it gives the rich, at least allegedly in the way it's currently structured, give the rich and the unions or business associations. This is that thing that was introduced. This bill that was negotiated. Unlimited donations from party institutions would require more loyalty to the party over loyalty to the voters. House Bill 4024, going to be heard today at 8 o'clock in House Rules. You can go to the OregonLegislature.gov. You can find that committee hearing, and you can submit testimony today. Ronnie Daniels did. By the way, again, our last war room is going to be this Thursday, the Ike Box. It's probably going to be bigger than ever. We won't have enough room unless I get a bigger room. So stay tuned. I'll tell you about that. So there are other things going on out there, and we need to talk about them because they do matter. From OregonWatchdog.com, there's a K2 story. Oregon lawmakers seek to require disclosure of AI use in campaign ads. During this year's political campaign advertising, they write, not only will you see paid for disclosures, but you might also see something like, this campaign ad was created using artificial intelligence. All right, so how would disclosing that fact change how you might look or understand or interpret the campaign ad? How would it change anything? Would it matter? After the revelations about AI recently, Google's AI, you know, when you, I think it was the Washington Times or the Washington Post, whatever. Anyway, one of these national newspapers asked a bunch of questions about the founding fathers, and Google AI, as you know, we covered this, came back with all of these politically correct images of our founding fathers. They were either black, Hispanic, or women. Completely the opposite of truth. All generated by AI. And it turns out that Google's stock took a huge nosedive. Why? Because everybody knows it's not true. But the radical leftist in charge of that aspect of Google's business was a well-known and admitted racist against white people. So Ronnie, by the way, submitted testimony about opposing House Bill 4024. And he gets into it, folks. And he bills himself as an Irish, Creek, Cherokee, Black American Navy veteran who opposes this bill, who happens to be a Republican. What's going to happen with Senate Bill 1583? Are the Democrats really going to let it go? Or are they just waiting for the end of the legislative session here where everybody's kind of distracted with other things? It has been scheduled now, the House Committee on Rules, tomorrow at 8 a.m. So apparently the word we heard late last week was it ain't going to move forward was another lie. Just what you would expect from Marxists, wouldn't you? Corby wants to ding me over promoting background checks and concealed weapons permits. You're not supporting the Second Amendment. Well, Corby, I guess you have a choice to make. You can carry a gun without having a concealed carry permit. Actually, you can. You can openly carry in Oregon without any kind of a permit. But if you want to, well, if you want to get a permit to carry a gun lawfully in Oregon, doesn't matter whether it's the Second Amendment or not, you have to obey the law. If the law is unjust or unconstitutional, you can defy the law and you'll go to jail for it. Is that what you want? Am I promoting background checks? No, I don't think we should have them. Because you see, the bad guys are going to get them anyway. As we know, bad guys get guns. Background check has nothing to do with it. They'll always get guns. But for those of us who abide by the law, even though we think we still support the Second Amendment, by getting a concealed carry permit doesn't mean you don't support the Second Amendment. It's an absurd thing you're saying, Corby. Think about it. And Michael, yikes. So lots of other things that are out there, and we'll try to get to them all, and I'll try to get to all of your emails today, including the newest newsletter that we'll talk with Senator Dennis Linthicum about tomorrow. It's called All the King's Horses and All the King's Men Could Not Put Humpty Together Again. And it's about the failed ideas of Measure 110. House Bill 4002 kind of gets us in the right direction. But Dennis tells us about why he voted no. So also did Representative Ed Deal, and Representative Ed Deal will be at the Political Coffee Clatch tonight. Tonight is, if you've seen your email, if you're on my email list for the Political Coffee Clatch, tonight is, yes, I got the date right. It's the actual ODOT tolling scam PowerPoint presentation by retired Delta Airlines Captain John Lay. And it's worse than you thought, because he has the latest, which just came out this last week, about how bad it's really going to be. So he's Wednesday. The ODOT presentation is tonight. Ed Deal will be there tonight to talk about why he voted no on House Bill 4002, which supposedly recriminalizes Measure 110. You got to love, by the way, the protesters that were at the Capitol to protest. They say, hey, we want Measure 110 just like it is. There's a stunning lack of logic to that, because all the world knows it ain't working. And the incredible damage it's doing in people's lives, the loss of human potential. What's compassionate about that? They talk about compassion. What's compassionate about that? What's compassionate about the incredible death rate, the agony, the hurt to families? Because this group of people says, nope, it's fine. Just leave it. Leave it alone. Don't do anything to make it better. Measure 110 really has to be repealed, in my humble opinion. Anyway, so today we've got a great interview coming up at the bottom of the hour from Ben Straka on what's going on with Freedom Foundations. Well, what they're doing in Oregon to limit the power of the unions by giving you back a whole bunch of your money if you're a government employee, and how they're helping get that done, but also the impact of that all across the country. Man, there's so much to talk about. It's just amazing. Can't even hardly get to it all. Including how Tina Kotek's $376 million housing package could help a little tiny city of 2,000 called Rainier, which literally issued one permit for construction for the whole year last year. Single family home, one permit, the home of 2000. What? Maybe we ought to revise the laws permanently if they're that restrictive. Back in a moment at 6:20.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. It's Political Coffee Clatch Day. In addition to the ODOT tolling scam presentation tonight at Political Coffee Clatch, starting at 6 p.m. at Sparky's Brewing Company, Mission Street, right there behind the Carl's Jr. and the Popeyes. Can't miss it, folks. 23rd in Mission. Anyway, in addition to the ODOT presentation, which is about a 40-minute presentation, PowerPoint, and it's stunning. We've got State Representative Ed Deal's going to explain his no vote on House Bill 4002, which is the Measure 110 rewrite, supposedly. And CD4 congressional candidate Monique Despain joins us. A lot to be a part of. By the way, the U.S. Supreme Court today, we saw this late yesterday, is going to release an opinion this morning. Don't know what time it is. It may be before we're off the air or after the air, but it signals that they have a ruling on Trump's eligibility based on the baseless argument that he created an insurrection. The 14th Amendment argument that all these states are hanging their hat on. They're good. This is most unusual, folks. It's likely, I think, that they're going to end up with a 9-0. Ruling. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Let's go to Ronnie, who's on the line. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to hit three issues real quick.
Go for it.
4,024, as I wrote it. It's like the Democrat Party really don't give a damn about us Oregonians. They've gone after kids and everything else. And here's my warning to all the churches, all the synagogues, and even from the Muslim communities that's in our state. I respectfully request that you people submit between now and tomorrow a letter on House Bill 15, Senate Bill 1583 Alpha. Public testimony is available. You want your kids to be given this X-rated, triple X type stuff on which way you're grooming, controlled by a new bureaucracy that's going to cost us tens of millions of dollars with many six-figure incomes, like what they give to every major department, like DEQ and stuff, like the old Jenny Burdick at 130,000 plus, probably about 160,000 plus now. We need your responses, people, churches, peoples, all parts of communities. Stop this forceful Jim Crow segregational mess upon our children by taking away your local control from your school boards that you elected to do the job of being discretionary on the basic things, which should be reading, writing, arithmetic, not sexual orientation, not pushing one race or this, that, other down the people's throat. And then what really insults me, Jeff, is after they passed in the Senate last week, and here's Lou Fredrickson, that racist, and I'm going to say it that way, saying this, that, and that, it got affected all the way down in the San Joaquin Valley in Tulare County where my father heard what was going on. And hearing those that was protesting Measure 110, saying it's racist and everything else, now, it was insulting, it was hurtful, and he's paying the cost because he's a European American, but he's got native blood out of Arkansas. They used to fruit camp all the way up here to the Yakima Valley, down the Willamette Valley, and everything else from Garner, Arkansas, every year, and then raised turkeys in the wintertime until he was 16 and said he had enough and gotten a job like the American Dream, finished his school, and 60 years ago went in the Navy. And the worst times you can ever ask anybody. And watch half his graduating class die in 68 from Tulare High School and during a Tet Offensive. It's a dishonor. For us, make a long story short,
for sharing your,
I'm going to shut it down. But people need to submit testimony online to 1583, right. Senate Bill.
1583.
God bless you, my brother.
Start today, folks, submitting testimony on 1583 today. They're going to hear it tomorrow in House Rules at 8 a.m. They lied. They ain't going to kill it, folks. Why would they? They got everybody in their corner. At least they think. Let's see who's up next. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, good morning.
Hey, Jeff. I think that there are, this is about 110. There are worse things than going to jail. In fact, I think it solves a lot of problems because homeless people that are addicted, they get a roof over their head. you can give them treatment while they're in jail. And also, homeless people that are addicted, they not only are committing crimes, the thing is they become victims too. It's not safe for
That's
them
right.
either on the street. So
That's right.
I think it just solves a lot of problems. You don't have to find treatment center for them.
That's right. Measure this House Bill 4002 ostensibly gives counties the option of opting into an incarceration first, treatment second policy like you're describing, forcing it.
Right.
Now, that's not a bad thing. But we'll talk to Representative Ed Deal about that on Wednesday, and we'll hear from him tonight at the Political Coffee Clutch as to why that ain't good enough. And I think it's going to be marginally effective, Kathy, just maybe a little bit. I think ultimately we're going to have to go back to full repeal. We're going to have to. I don't see any other way around it. If we want to save our families, our culture, our society, our republic. Thanks, Kathy. Come and visit us tonight. The Political Coffee Clutch starting at 6 o'clock at Sparky's Brewing Company. Back in a moment with Ben Straka from Freedom Foundation on the latest that they've been able to make happen. It benefits you. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
And we are back, my friends. Great to be with you, Political Coffee, for Monday. Again, this is Political Coffee Clutch Night. So come and join us tonight, 6 p.m. at Sparky's Brewing Company, family-friendly. That means you can bring your kids. We're going to hear the latest on the ODOT tolling scam. There's a great PowerPoint presentation by retired Delta Airlines Captain John Lay. We'll also hear from Representative Ed Deal on why he voted against House Bill 4002, which is the Measure 110 rewrite, which a whole bunch of people gathered at the Capitol and urging Governor Tina Kotek not to sign it. If she doesn't sign it, what they don't realize is it goes into law anyway in 5 days. Because apparently these people think it's just fine the way it is. There's no problem. These are not the droids we're looking for. Don't worry about it, folks. Everything's okay. Just give it more time. It'll work. I don't know how many ways that you can describe. I'm not even going to go there, folks. At any rate, and also CD4 congressional candidate Monique Despain joins us tonight. Also got to remind you, Freedom Heating and Air, folks, can keep you warm if you're not, because it's kind of cold out there. Woke up yesterday morning to snow again. Give them a call. If your system's not working right, they'll come out and they'll get it fixed for you right away. Call them at 503-580-1456, 580-1456. Joining us from the Freedom Foundation is Ben Straka. Ben, good morning to you. What is the deal about House Bill 4129, and how does that impact home health care workers, and is it good, is it bad?
Well, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here. The short answer is it's bad. House Bill 4129, in short, would create a legal workaround to an existing U.S. Supreme Court decision that currently prevents SEIU, which is the largest union in Oregon, from forcing these in-home caregivers to pay union dues. So it's a bad bill. It's a deceptive bill. You know, these are people who provide in-home care services to older folks and people with disabilities who receive Medicaid assistance. Often they're caring for their own family members. And the brief backstory on how we got here was way back in the year 2000, SEIU was behind a ballot measure, ballot measure 99, that created the Oregon Home Care Commission, which is the state body that administers this Medicaid program for home care services. Now, the primary purpose for doing so, because these people, home care workers, are employed primarily by, like I said, the family members, the caregivers, right. individuals right. they serve. So they created a state body for the pretty much the sole purpose of serving as the quote-unquote employer of record so that they could unionize these caregivers under the umbrella of the state. So technically, these caregivers then were considered public employees, even though they're really not. They're just reimbursed with these Medicaid, you know, they're reimbursed with public funds because it's through Medicaid. Then the U.S. Supreme Court looked at this in 2014, said, wait, these folks, this is not a traditional union employee, you know, relationship. These folks really aren't public employees. Anyway, it ruled that unions can no longer force these Medicaid compensated home care workers across the country, but including in Oregon, from being forced to pay union dues as a condition of employment. And so that is what the House Bill 4129 is trying to get around now. It's trying to create a legal workaround to that ruling in a very complicated way by now basically abandoning the union's own creation in the state body, although not entirely, but it's kind of ironic in that sense. They're directing the state to contract out so that they can then unionize caregivers under private sector labor laws, under which they could, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling wouldn't apply, and they could once again force them to pay dues.
That's how they get around it through private employers.
Right. Yep. And where they're typically, focused solely on public employees and again, created the Home Care Commission to begin with, when it suits their needs now to privatize and contract out, they're all, you know, more than happy to do that in order to get these folks back in the union again. Because since the court's ruling in 2014, around 30-40% of these folks have decided to not pay dues to SEIU, and that's millions of dollars per year. I mean, that's a lot of money out of the union's pockets, a lot of money that they can't then funnel into, you know, political candidates and the folks that then allow them to get away with this kind of thing to begin with. So they're just trying to get those folks back in the union at the end of the day.
So bottom line here is this is being promoted, at least according, I'm looking at your testimony here, is that this will save money. It'll make Medicaid home care services more efficient. But you point out something, that this bill, which was introduced last year, Senate Bill 570, was going to cost $44 million. It was going to cost, it wouldn't save any money, but it would cost an additional $44 million and then $344 million after that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and this year that's been confirmed as well. Now the number, because it's a year later, again this they're trying again this legislative session. The cost, the price tag is around $150 million combined within the first few years after, you know, if this bill passes this year, it's around $150 million. But the remaining that makes up that, you know, $344 that you just mentioned, we have confirmed actually with legislative fiscal staff, it's just pushed into the next year. So the cost is still, upwards of $200, $300 million in just the first few years. In hearings this year in the legislature, it's been confirmed, it's just been outright confirmed. Yeah, it's a more expensive service option. And the thing is, too, if the unions have kind of pitched this, like I said, as a way to increase the efficiency and modernize the home care system because private companies, do things better than the state. And that's typically true. The ironic thing is they're not even getting rid of the state program. They're just they're duplicating what the state already does for the purpose of shuffling caregivers to the parallel private version that would then allow them to pay dues. So it's not saving money by contracting out. It's leaving the current state program untouched and just creating additional costs on top of that. Again, for the sole purpose of the union's interests, and trust me, they're not interested in saving the taxpayers' money.
No, they're not. That's the last thing they're interested in. Yeah. Reinvigorating their power base and their automatic, for lack of a better term, their their money machine, because that's what it is. You know, the fact that they get to take union dues and the state pays it automatically to them. They don't even have to collect it. The state does it for them. And that's this money machine. So where is this bill currently at, and how can our listeners help?
Well, our listeners can help by emailing, calling, contacting their representatives and senators, and telling them to vote no. It's currently up for consideration, I believe, tomorrow on the full House floor. It's gone through House committee hearings, Joint Ways and Means, so it'll be considered by the full House this week, and then have to be considered by the Senate. And it looks like they're doing everything they can to make that happen and pass it during the last week of the short session here. But yeah, people can help by contacting their representatives and senators, telling them to vote no. We've had a good show of support, opposition to the bill, so support for not passing the bill so far, contentious public hearing and a lot of caregivers coming out against this. But currently the primarily it's been along party lines, and the Democrats seem to be intent on passing this. So, but, you know, as much pressure as can be put on is, and as much, public interest in the issue is possible is obviously helpful. So that's what people can do.
So the bill is going to be passed tomorrow on the House floor, and then it'll go over to the Senate. Now, I'm hearing that they're going to try to get out of the end of the legislative session on Thursday or Friday. That really crunches the timeline here. And over the Senate side, to actually get it done. So if Republicans object to advancing by unanimous consent, allowing this bill to go more quickly, could they run out the clock? Stop it?
Yeah, we are working with them currently on doing that. It is possible. I think running out the clock is one way, and maybe the best way to stop this. Because it seems like most, if not all, the Democrats seem intent on voting this through. But yeah, they are running out of time, so it is possible to run out the clock. And we are working hard with allies in the legislature to make that happen. We'll continue to work on that. And like I said, just having the public, contact their representatives and tell them to oppose this, can only help. So there is a chance that it doesn't pass this year. We hope that it doesn't, but it has been stated as SEIU, the union's top priority. So I know they're going to do whatever it takes, to squeeze it through under the deadline.
Ben, is your testimony up on your website, freedomfoundation.com?
I know that I have it linked from an article I wrote on our website, and happy to publish it straight up as well. I know it's public record with the Oregon legislature, but yeah, we've written extensively on this issue.
Here it is. Yep. I see it right here. Yep. Folks, go to freedomfoundation.com under news and articles. You'll see the headline. Ben, great work. Thanks for joining us today. Keep working.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
6:48, back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
And we are back. It is the last segment for today. MyPillow has these incredibly good deals on a whole bunch of stuff that makes your life better. I know, because I sleep on the Giza Dream Sheets, and they're wonderful. But that MyPillow 2.0 is also wonderful. You can get the Giza Premium MyPillow now for as low as $24. The Percale Bed Sheets for $24. The MyPillow Down Comforter for $199. On and on and on. Great products. And you know, when you buy products at a heavy discount using our promo code PC23, you not only get fantastic products that are all made in America by American workers to make your life better, but you also help stand up in the cause of liberty and fair elections. Mike Lindell continues to fight that battle. It's expensive because Andy's winning. Time and time again, lawsuits that they are supporting all across the country are winning. And counties, there may be as many as 200 counties of the 3,000 in America that have now decided to go away from the machines and go to hand counting. That's all because you bought products from MyPillow. Thank you to those of you who have, and those of you who haven't yet need to try it. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code PC23. PC23. By the way, Doug had sent me early this morning this piece in Zero Hedge about MSNBC's utterly racist coverage. If you, the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, geo-democratic group in the country said, an MSNBC guest, guess who it is? White rural Americans. If you are white and you live in the country, like me, these University of Maryland political science professor Thomas Schaller and op-ed writer Paul Waldeman were on MSNBC's Morning Joe. They have a new book called White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. They repeatedly call whites in the countryside across the land racist and anti-democracy. We're white nationalists. We're white Christian nationalists. And they say that we're most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse. What an outright lie, folks. Right out of the pit of hell. You know who's most likely to justify violence as an acceptance alternative to peaceful public discourse? Guess who that is? It's Antifa, Black Lives Matter. And they're not in the rural areas. It wasn't white rural folks that were destroying downtown Portland, was it, Professor Schaller? Was it? Over 120 nights, consecutive nights, folks. That means one after the other. 120 consecutive nights of violent protests, 27 of them declared riots by Portland police. That wasn't white rural people. In fact, when the Black Lives Matter people and the Antifa protesters got bussed into Prineville, the white rural folks stood on the streets with their guns, basically kicked them out of town. And the Crook County Sheriff's Office wasn't going to have anything to do with it. Made it very clear. You guys come here, you can peacefully protest, but guess what? You start anything, you're going to get arrested and we're going to prosecute you if you survive. Imagine that. The people, I mean, this is exactly what they do, isn't it? By the way, Petunia is going to be tonight at Sparky's. Yep, she's going to be involved in a whole bunch of stuff the last few days, including, I am hearing Thursday, there's going to be a massive log truck rally at the Capitol to protest Thursday's vote at the Department of Forestry to lock up almost all of our state forests for the next 70 years. Petunia's going to be a part of that. She's going to be at tonight over there at Sparky's. So come and see Petunia. Doug writes, kids sucking teacher toes in white rural racists, failing commie corporate deep state regimes always use psyops to control the narrative and distract us. Hype sensationalism, it's always part of the game plan for the corporate and NGO hive-minded. As precursor to their compassionate quartering by the people, absurd attempts to evade us and program us is proof enough that this is their running for the hills moment. I predict high prices for one-way ticket cruises and slow boats to China, as well as corporate-sponsored crisis actors and false flags coming to a town near you. Yeah, that's likely to happen. Julie writes an email about House Bill 4149. Enjoy local pharmacies? Don't enjoy the long waits at the pharmacy? 40 communities in Oregon have lost their local pharmacies. Why, you ask? Pharmacy benefit managers are responsible for policies which assures good medical policies involving pharmacies. According to a Secretary of State study, these managers have indulged in detrimental business and opaque contracts, helping the national chains, i.e. Rite Aid. These managers restrict the stock the small pharmacies are allowed to keep in stock, the number of employees. This bill would restrict the power these individuals have. The bill was introduced by a representative from Canyonville, which was impacted. This bill asked the managers be licensed. Oregon needs these people to be impacted to protect patients and local pharmacies in small towns. Call your representative, ask them to vote yes. This is House Bill 4149. Pharmacy benefit managers, by the way, are another unnecessary. If you want to bring down the cost of prescription drugs, get rid of those folks. I hate to say it, folks. It's absolutely true. Let's see. Rich writes, so 4002 just shows again that Dems should not be allowed to try to fix something, Measure 110, that they screwed up to start with. Dems can never fix a law or a bill they've caused. Even the extreme left Oregon Supreme Court said it's a bad bill. Here again, the Dems march on. Yep. Join us tonight, folks. Political Coffee Clash. 6 to 8 p.m. at Sparky's. Petunia's going to be there. How about you? Representative Deal. Who got holding scam and CD4 congressional candidate Monique Despain? Make it a great day. Keep fighting for everything you believe. Yeah. Make it.